What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We your number one spot. We your number one spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two. We in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spot.
Hey, what's good, what's good, what's good? One more time, because we missed y'all. Welcome in here to the Monday, July 15th edition of D-Lo and KC. You know what's a great way to settle back in with your squad, with your crew, with the chatty house after like 12 days of not being able to do a show, after 12 days of being out of the building?
Welcome back.
It's when your boss pops his head in here and goes, hey, when you got a second, can you come see me? Like, dog, I'll see you at 6. Like, you didn't see me when I got here an hour and a half ago? No, hey, when you get a second, come see me. Yeah, no, like, what you want after not seeing me for 12 days isn't going to be sitting on my mind for the next 10 minutes.
That's a wild boy.
Yeah, Aaron, that's a wild dude. That's a wild dude. I'm Damian Barling.
The ultimate needle mover in God mode himself.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
And we in here, man. It's good to be back.
I'm glad to have you back. It was touch and go for a quick second. I mean, I got the text message on Friday, and then I got another one last night.
So that's fun, because I tapped in on Friday to hear you read a text message.
Nothing fake about
Okay, read the text message verbatim that you allegedly got on Friday, and we'll compare this to the text message that you were allegedly reading on Friday afternoon. Yeah.
Me to Damian.
Yep.
Yo, Dame, what's going on, man? Hey, man, hope you're enjoying the vacation. Can't wait to have you back on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Damian, listen, I'm only doing this because I'm contractually obligated
to. That's not even what you said on Friday.
I'm on a remote island where I won't get any access to, I'm sorry, where I won't get any reception, and you peons won't have any access to me. Good riddance. Real quick, Jesse don't even know this. I text him last night, and I was just like, yo, Dame, just tapping in, man. Hey,
not true.
Bro, it's great to have you back. Damian, how did you get my number again, lose it, and I'm only coming back because my contract makes me? This whole conversation is too poor for me. Leave me alone. I'll see you at noon.
Okay.
Okay, Dame.
So that's what we're doing. That's fine.
That's what happened.
No, that's fine. So when you alleged that I was on a remote island, I was actually at home. But it's good.
So you got a house there. Okay.
All
right, cool.
No, here's what I encourage everybody to do is Google AMIRIT t-shirt.
What are you talking
just
about?
Google that.
Don't stop.
And when you talk about being poor. Like, you're literally the woman with the money fanning herself, talking about there's poor people around. There's poor people around.
No, I'm just glad you came back to slum it with us.
This dude right here. There was no place I would have rather been than here with you guys last week. Again, not to say I didn't have a fantastic time with the people that I was with and where I was. The vacation was a little bit out of sort, because normally is everybody. I mean, I'm a creature of habit. We normally take time off in August, right as training camp is coming to an end. We're in the preseason of football. We're getting ready for NBA training camp. And we know that with the exception of a day here or a day there, like, that's it. We're here to the end of basketball season. But there were some things set up, and this was an important time away for people close to me. So it was important for me. And it just so happened one of the biggest stories in the history of the Sacramento Kings broke 2 days before we left.
Okay, all right. Look, I'm just look, we got to call a spade. I mean, let's not bury the lead. Who broke the story? You know what I mean? Who broke the story? You know what I mean?
Yeah, go ahead and talk about that. Hey,
who broke the story, man? Air horns, man. Come on. We got to call spade a spade. Who broke the story?
D'Lo and KC broke the story.
Well, I mean, I appreciate the point guard, the team leader that you're making it. But the tweets didn't come from D'Lo and KC. They came from one Twitter account, as they should, and the flowers need to be given. Come on now. Come on, man. You was all over that. You was all over that.
Watch your back, Shams.
Come on. Yeah. My guy was all over that. Stop playing with him. Stop. And that's two. That's two since we've been on the air that we was all over. Stop playing with him.
I actually thought about that, and I appreciate it. It's three. Because there's one I always forget about, too.
Which one?
Me and James broke that De'Aaron signed with Clutch.
Ah, I remember that.
There were people. And it's funny. And I was telling Casey this. It's funny because this isn't what we do. Like, in no way, shape, or form is D'Lo or KC a reporter. Not that we don't take what we do here very seriously, because we do. But we also, we're not Shams. We're not Woj. We're not Adam Schefter. We're not Chris Haynes. Mm. Hell, we're not James Hamm. That's not what we do. But every once in a while, we dive into those waters when we know we have information. We know that it's reliable. We know we can, like, we follow the reporter channels, mm-hmm. and I noticed that some people don't like that.
Mm.
There were a lot of people smiling in my face on Saturday night. Oh, but I know that they were not pleased with what D'Lo and KC were doing that day.
I got fake people showing fake love to me straight up to my face.
But I don't enjoy that because, you know, our information was good on a lot of levels, but there's still a twinge of like, okay, be careful how you word this. Mm-hmm. And I started getting an inkling. So we have maintained this from jump. DeMar DeRozan was a target of the Sacramento Kings all offseason. We knew that. And I don't want to say we didn't talk about it a lot because we didn't think it was going to go anywhere, but we really didn't know like what Sacramento had to offer, what DeMar was looking for. We didn't know
how that was going to happen.
But we knew that the Kings liked DeMar DeRozan. Mm-hmm. And for those that, you know, follow and watch pretty intently, you heard us mention it a time or two, and then we would kind of leave it. Well, that Friday night, that Friday afternoon, probably around like 4 o'clock, we started to get a pretty strong sense that, hey, like DeMar DeRozan and the Kings is like super real. Mm-hmm. And I hit up the group text like, man, there's something like really, really happening here. And then by Friday night, we had talked to a number of different people who not only were like, the Kings are in a good spot to land DeMar DeRozan, but like, I think the Kings got DeMar DeRozan. Mm. But there was still it's not announced, and I know he's coming to Sacramento tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And I was telling Kenny this story, and I'm going to censor it a little bit for the radio. I knew DeMar was going to be in Sacramento on Saturday, and it was like, I followed proper channels and got nothing. And I checked in with a few people to kind of verify, hey, do you know anything about DeMar? Yeah, they're going to be in this Sacramento around like 11:30, something like that. Mm. All right, thank you. Send the message that DeMar DeRozan's meeting with the Sacramento Kings, you know, today in Sacramento. Shams literally tweets it like 5 minutes later. Now I'm pissed. Now I'm mad because I know where Shams got the information from. I'm like, all right, this is what we're doing. I already know everything, so I'm just going to dance around this as best I can while still protecting everything at play. There's multiple people here who could tell you they knew the trade. Everyone involved Friday night. You knew it. Jesse knew it. Kyle knew it. We knew Harrison Barnes was going to send it, but there's still a level of, yo, it's HB. Like, you can't put that out there until like the right time.
There's a level of respect.
Yeah, you can't do that. There's a lot of people that you have to protect with this type of stuff. And so the whole, like, and I remember Saturday morning, I remember walking Sprout. I remember getting home. It was like 8:30. It was like 4 million degrees, I think, that day.
Oh, man.
And I sat on the edge of my couch with my phone in my hand for almost 4 hours between tweeting, texting, and calling, trying to figure out if this thing was really going to, like, is this real? Has it fallen apart? Is he still on his way? All of those types of different things. So can tell you, like, with 100% certainty, this is not a bag that I like. The reporter bag, that's not what we do, which is why we've done it three times. When we heard Malik negotiated with the Sacramento Kings at exactly 3 o'clock, it was like,
beat Shams' asses, though.
We got it. All right, let's go with that. We were, James and I, like, I had gotten word that De'Aaron signed with Clutch. And someone had said to me, like, hey, don't report it yet. Like, there could be a reason it's not public. So I took it to James and I said, James, can you go to De'Aaron and ask him? And if he confirms it, can you get his okay to report it? And James did all of those things, got his okay. So we ran with it. This one, I didn't, even at like 6:15, it wasn't like done. Mm-hmm. So it was just, I know I'm going to take the L on this. I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to be the first to say that DeMar DeRozan is the Sacramento King,
yeah,
but follow up with everything the best. So the only tweet that I had planned was the Harrison Barnes tweet. Mm. Because that was the one thing I knew, if I tweeted that right when the trade happened, it would have an impact because we're losing Harrison Barnes.
Right.
And man, I wanted it, but I knew I knew I couldn't have it.
And I was telling you, even though, like, reporting wise, like I said, we had our information, but like reporting wise, even though I knew you was on it, the first person I saw was Chris Haynes. That's the first tweet I saw, and I was like, all right, cool. You know what I'm saying? But this was something that we had some good intel on for sure. The funny thing, you talk about how, like, you didn't enjoy the process. I remember Stephen A. talking about the LeBron to Miami thing, yeah, and he had it like maybe a month before, and afterwards he's like, even Stephen A. was like, I don't like this. You might not see me doing this too much more often because I don't like this.
Well, there's always a semblance of like, is this like it? Because by the start of the game, the first game at the California Club, I had leaned pretty heavy into this happening to where if it didn't happen, it was gonna hurt.
Yeah,
and there was no indication whatsoever it wasn't gonna happen. None. Even when I started hearing things, no inclination that it wasn't going to get done.
Right.
And then when I saw Vivek was just sitting courtside, I was like, "It's good, it's good." And then he doesn't come back for the set, and I knew the idea was what we
got—the
introduction of DeMar DeRozan between games. And it was like, "All right, I think we're good. I think we're good."
I want to hear more about this because I haven't heard about. I know it's a week ago, but I still haven't heard about, like, being in the building, how it played out, the fans, all this other stuff, man. And you were there. So I just real quick before we dive into other stuff, I want to go back a little bit and hear a little more about that.
Well, we're just vibing out, man. We're just happy to be back in studio. I hated missing last Monday's show.
Bro, we haven't been able to talk about field day yet.
Oh, man. Come on, man. Hey, man. No, we've been teasing field day for a week. All right. And the thing is going to pay off too, bro. Field day was crazy.
It's going to pay off in a way you guys couldn't possibly imagine.
It was great. I still ain't seen some of these people, man. Come on, man.
We'll come back. It's D-Lo and KC back together here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, real quick before we dive back into things here on D-Lo and KC, I just want to let all the wives, the girlfriends, hell, the kids, leave daddy alone tonight. Leave him alone. He's going to be up for a while tonight. This is a monumental moment. I think it's happening at 1 o'clock.
This is a general statement, by the way. He's not just talking about himself.
This is all wives, all girlfriends, all kids. Leave daddy, husband, boyfriend alone tonight. This is a moment in history because it's back. It is back.
It's back, Damian.
NCAA football. I think they're talking about you could download it at like 1 p.m. or something. Was it 1 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m.
Pacific.
Okay. Yeah. So, look, man. I done already told the family, and I'm going to let them know, too. I'll see you guys sometime Tuesday morning. Tonight, I got work to do. NCAA football is back. This game is sick.
Don't make that face, Dame. This is a big deal. This game is a big deal.
Oh, my gosh. This game is sick. I'd have been reading up on it, watching YouTube videos. This game is nasty.
You've been watching LeBron play it?
I did see LeBron was on the sticks, running up the scores. Colorado might be... I ain't going to say they're the most used team in this year, but they're going to be top 10 most used team. I got into an argument. This is for another day. I said Shedeur Sanders is as good as Caleb Williams, but that's for another day.
I think you're doing a lot.
Shedeur is the truth. He's the truth. We'll talk about it another day. Maybe next month. He's the truth. But yeah, like I said, wives, girlfriends, kids, daddy's got work to do tonight. Daddy's got work to do. It's back.
I don't know who this daddy's you're referring to is, but it ain't me. So, wives, girlfriends, you can come talk to me because my night's clear. I do not have a machine in the house.
This is going to be able to download that game. Was it 10 years? 11 years?
NCAA 14, so about 2000, right? Yeah, 2013, 15, however it goes.
I did see the post today, the thread of post about NCAA covers we wish we had had over the last 10 years. And that was pretty dope.
Johnny Football would have been crazy. They've been having a little, you know, people on Twitter having fun, little memes and stuff like that. And they one of them was like, my son has an appointment at 4 that I'm supposed to take him to. And then they got a picture of what was his name, Ben Ravine, when he was
yeah, I saw that one.
You're not gonna be there.
I saw that one.
I can't take him.
Bro, this is like CM Punk coming back.
It just happened.
Oh man, it's gonna be lit. This is gonna be lit, man.
Absolutely. I'm happy for y'all, man. Cook. Yeah. So, I'm excited for y'all.
Just had to let everybody know because wives, girlfriends, kids might be like, "What's wrong with dad today? What's wrong with husband?"
So let's act this out. Mm-hmm. You're Kenny,
yeah.
Because I think you play that role well.
Yeah.
You're upstairs in your
be
massive
careful.
Loft.
Just be careful. It's just a regular.
That has
loft
like
area.
Seven screens up just there and surround sound.
What are we talking about?
And you're playing.
Do you play by the lake?
No. Good question. There's no lake anywhere near question. My house.
So you're playing NCAA football in Jasmine. Mm-hmm. Yells from or gets on the intercom and yells from one of the other wings of the house.
It's not the Jetsons. I don't
KC, we need you downstairs immediately. You do what?
Hey, hold on real second.
Okay. Real second goes by. Jasmine gets back on the intercom from the other wing of the house. Kenny, get your ass down here now. Your response is what?
All right, give me 1 second. I'll be back. I'll be down there. I've just got to finish this play.
And that's when the house loses electricity. That's when all of the electricity in the entire house goes out.
One second. I'll be down there in a second.
See, now you got to talk.
This is why you get yelled at. Is because of that.
I'm supposed to go right in the middle of a drive. I'm supposed to go. No,
you're supposed to go because your wife needs you and asks you to.
But my lovely wife, you know, my baby. She understands this drive is important. I got to finish out the drive.
I don't think the play calling
and everything, you can't just like pause and I'll be right back because you're in a flow. It's like I'm Kyle Shanahan. It's like I'm Andy Reid. I'm in a flow of my play calling. Let me finish the drive, and then I'll be down there and do whatever you need.
There's 5 seconds left. It's fourth and goal, and you expect this man to go do some dishes right now?
Yeah, that ain't...
As someone who is getting married soon, I strongly advise you change your approach to this.
This is why you got to let them know. Part of marriage in a relationship is communication. I'm communicating right now, and so it's not a surprise when, like, hey, I'm on the sticks till 3 a.m.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Whatever happened to getting the chores out the way before the game starts?
No, that's fine.
Yeah.
Kenny, you could be on the sticks until 3 a.m. when me and your two children go to bed at 11. Then you could be on the six for the next 4 hours.
Ask Draymond Green how he goes missing in his own house. Figure that out.
Your co-host would love you to, you know, open the rundown, throw some notes in there. You know, it's a little dry right now. It's a little tough to find content. But no, get your stuff off with Colorado. This is good. Don't want to interrupt your drive here, pal.
You know, I'm pretty old school with it. I'm going to take a job at like Middle Tennessee State and just work my way up. And so I'm not like a lot of people just jump in. Oh, I'm going to be Michigan. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to play the game the way it's supposed to be. I'm going to take that job at Middle Tennessee State as the offensive coordinator, work my way up, you know, and then eventually like 6 seasons down the road, get, you know, one of the big jobs.
See, I got to go with the team with the best unis. Okay. I can't be like just bored or whatever.
Well, I wonder if Sac State, they was on the last one.
So you both already pre-ordered it or
what? I'm working on mine.
I didn't pre-order it yet.
You want a new system?
Yeah, yeah. We're on a mission over here at my house.
You gotta do what you gotta do. But yeah, I mean, yeah. Look, and to be honest with you, I already told Reese, hey, it's coming out. You can get on the sticks.
That's nice. You're gonna let your child play a video game. That's very nice.
Yeah, you can play.
No, that's
play.
Good. It's like the gun that you got him, the shooting gun.
That's cash, by the way. Well, huh?
It's a basketball shooting gun.
The basketball machine. Where you shoot basketballs into the hoop. That's what we're talking about.
I just want to be clear with what we're discussing on this program.
But yeah, you can get on the game, and then this can be a family affair. You know, okay. we could all get in on an online dynasty together. We could all do it together.
So the game, you know, you get home, long day, 6 o'clock, you get home, for you, it's going to be 7. And Jasmine says, honey, I know how bad you wanted it. I downloaded it for you.
Man,
it's ready.
That's why she's my wife. That's
it's ready.
My wife.
Look, I got some food if you want to get a game in. Like, great. Mm-hmm. Why don't we all go up together and play the first game together?
It's all good because I'm a family man. It's all good.
But what about when one game turns into two?
Well, they got to go to sleep at some point.
Just going to wait it out.
And then that's when I start the dynasty.
Wait it out. Okay.
You know, I start over at Louisiana Tech. I start at Tulane.
Yeah.
That's where I start my dynasty.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, just PSA. PSA.
It's okay.
I've been waiting 11 years for this. It's crazy.
I'm excited for y'all.
Before we went to break.
Good luck, Jesse.
talking about, you know, you doing a great job walking everybody through the process of that DeMar DeRozan day. And then, like, we had to go to break. But at that point, he had signed. Everything was out. He was signed. And that's where, you know, a lot of people I talked to last week during KC and Friends and all this other stuff, people wasn't there. You're, like, the first person that I've talked to that was in the building at the Golden One Center when people were looking down on their phones, getting the message, then when he comes to the tunnel. So I'm just curious about how that all went down.
So I think one of the best parts about that day was getting to the arena and knowing we had kind of been on top of this story, right? So I got stopped a lot. And after the customary "Where's KC?" I got asked about DeMar DeRozan.
That didn't happen.
And I ran into Nico. Like I saw like people Chatty House crew, but then I saw like crew, KSFM crew, like people from all over the place were coming to ask about DeMar DeRozan, and my thing was just like, I think it's going to happen, and I think it's going to happen tonight. Mm. And at that point, that's what I thought. Like, I thought it was going to happen before tip-off of that second game. Mm. And so that was the best part, because we were on that story. And to be able to talk to people going into the Golden 1 Center that day about DeMar DeRozan and your whereabouts was a lot of fun. When we got a heads up, it was literally seconds, like that it was final. Mm-hmm. It was literally seconds before the tweets from Chris and Shams and Woj and everybody went out. So I got it's done. And I tapped James on the shoulder and I gave James the thumbs up, and that he knew it. It was cold, right? But everybody knew what was going on. I tapped James on the shoulder and I said, "Hey, we're good." And James had his tweet ready. And then you just, I'm kind of doing a lot. Like I'm responding to a couple of different people, doing a couple of different things, but you just start to hear, like, I don't want to call it a roar. It wasn't a roar. You just started to hear noise, kind of gather, and then Kendrick hits.
Oh, it was that quick. It was like
it was quick.
Okay.
Because remember, we're between games now.
Got you.
So Kendrick hits, and the volume is loud. Mm. Like, it's not like a little, oh, it's a little between record. It's like, hey, this is a message. Kendrick hits, and then you start to, there's kind of this rumble in the audience, and you look around and you see people like are pointing to their phones, and people are like hitting their friends, like, hey, we got DeMar, we got DeMar. And you start to hear, like, you start to just hear noise. Mm. It's not an applause. It's not a chant. You just start to hear noise. Mm-hmm. The first little mini chant you heard was a couple minutes later. I think Not Like Us had finished at that point because the volume had gone back down a little bit. And Monty had walked out of the tunnel to a little bit of a mini ovation because I don't think people saw him. Mm-hmm. And then the people in that area started chanting Monty, Monty, mm-hmm. Monty. Again, it was kind of isolated. It wasn't like, you know, there were, I don't know, maybe 8,000 to 10,000 people there. It's not like 10,000 people were chanting for Monty, but right. Like the people who saw him were. And it all set up for, like, when the Kings ran out, the ovation was pretty loud for a preseason summer league.
Yeah.
Like, it was a pretty loud reaction for that group at the Golden 1 Center. And of course, you know, Keon was a part of that. They were, you know, very, very thankful to have, which I think is such a great gimmick but it's a great thing that the Kings do, having an established rotation player. It was Keegan last year. It was Keon this year. There's benefit to them playing in those games, but there's a lot of benefit for the fans to be able to have that guy to kind of latch on to. And then DeMar walks out.
Mm, mm, mm.
And that was the moment. Because Not Like Us is playing again.
Yeah.
This time it's just the instrumental.
What is this, the pop out?
Well.
Just playing over and over.
Well, they dropped the instrumental this time. And this time the reaction was loud.
Mm.
And the number one thing that stands out to me is the smile he had on his face.
Mm.
I know that was the moment the Kings wanted. I don't know if DeMar expected that. And now I know he talked about it in his introductory press conference, and salute to you and Jesse, who did a great job of carrying that as I was able to watch it while I was away live. But that, like, he had a genuine, oh, this is pretty dope reaction. Mm. Like, DeMar has been in major situations. He's been in packed arenas. He's been cheered for. He's been booed, all of that stuff. But July, whatever day it was, you know, to get that type of reaction in that type of setting, it felt like that moved him a little bit. And he smiled from the walkout and the wave all the way over to finally taking his seat with Vivek and Anjali and the rest of the crew that was there before De'Aaron and Rasay walked out to a equally as large ovation. Because by that point, I think Chris Haynes' follow-up tweet about the role that De'Aaron had played in getting DeMar here had already hit. Mm-hmm. And so not that De'Aaron wouldn't get a massive pop anyways, right, but I think there was a little, you got us one. Yeah. You got us one, man. That's dope.
It just seemed like a great moment, man. I wish I would have been there for it, man, because like you said, DeMar coming out and the reaction, I had a feeling, this, just me reading the tea leaves, I had a feeling this was the ideal scenario for Vivek. I'll say specifically Vivek, because Vivek is like he's an orchestrator, you know what I mean, like with these things. And I could probably on Thursday or Friday, whenever it was like DeRozan is coming into town, he's like, oh, yeah, let's just make sure we get this done. And I want him to walk out at this particular time. And it all worked out perfectly. And I felt like that was what they were going for. And I wanted to see what it was going to look like. And it was exactly how I thought it would look when he came out, the news had broke, and they went crazy for him, man. So that was really, really cool to see.
The California Classic, and it reiterated my frustration that the Classic was split. Because I think if it had been a full day of basketball games with the Kings being the headliner, you know, I don't know what tickets cost, $20, $30, for whatever they cost for a full day of basketball, I think the arena probably would have been even more full than it was. Because the California Classic here, I don't want to like overstate it, but like it is special. Like it's ours. Like it's been ours, and you took it away from us once and it was a failure. I don't think this split version was a failure. I just don't think you need to keep doing it.
Right.
And having, you know, shuffling up the roster, sending that guys to play from some stupid-ass Mitch Richmond trophy or something like that. Damn. Like, this is dumb. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
We don't need this. But that was one of the first things I thought of was, and it's, you know, even though the California Classic is compared to other summer leagues is young, man, it's had some memorable moments. And I'm not sure that the DeMar, I don't know. It's tough to rank them because I know you can look at it sideways now. That moment with Bagley I have a video somewhere on my phone. I think it was the first California Classic game, and I think it was against the Lakers.
Yeah.
The crowd's chanting "Beat LA." Yeah. It's 16,000 people chanting "Beat LA," which is just bizarre, right? In the setting that it's in, but that was a moment. Mm-hmm. Like that was electrifying.
Right.
Keegan last year, you know, going for 40 or whatever he did was a moment. I mean, this the California Classic has had some pretty dope moments, and DeMar DeRozan being introduced for the first time as a Sacramento King is, which I don't even think they did. If I remember correctly, I think they probably legally couldn't. They introduced him as 6-time NBA All-Star.
Ran the accolades down.
DeMar DeRozan. But by that point, everybody knew what it was.
Right.
And DeMar DeRozan was a Sacramento King.
That was, I mean, the you're right. The first game with Bagley and Harry Giles and Frank Mason and De'Aaron Fox. I wasn't at this DeRozan one, so it's a little different, but that's going to be hard.
No, it was special.
That was crazy. And then Marvin dunks on Mo Wagner. He dunks on him, plays, erupts, goes crazy. That was a moment. This is easily number two. This was amazing to see from a distance. I wasn't even in the building.
Yeah.
It was amazing to see from a distance. And It signifies the biggest free agent acquisition in Monty McNair's tenure as signing, right? Like we all love Malik now, but this Malik, when he was signed, wasn't celebrated by anybody but me at the time. You know what I mean? Like, oh, we got him. We got him. You know what I mean? Everybody was like, oh, Malik Monk is a very good player. That's a good signing. And then in hindsight, he turned into everybody's favorite.
The signing a month ago was significant. It felt significantly bigger than the original signing 2 years ago.
Yeah. But, I mean, this, we talked about it a little bit with Jason Jones, but, I mean, this might be the biggest signing in the Sacramento Kings history. I mean, we all know, talking about when you sign him.
Yeah.
When you sign Vlade, you were like, oh, that's cool. All right, man, we're still mad that they traded Mitch. I don't know what the order of operation was, but, like, even if Mitch was afterwards, when you got Vlade, you weren't thinking, yo, we're here because we got Mitch and Vlade or whatever the case may be. Even if it was before, you weren't thinking, yo, we about to cook because we got Mitch, Weber, and Jason Williams. I can't explain.
Chris didn't play together. Wasn't Chris?
Well, no, what I was saying, I don't know what happened first. Vlade signing and then Mitch got traded or Mitch got traded and then Vlade signing. I can't remember because it was a strike year as well. So
I think it's that one.
Mitch traded and then Vlade signing.
I think so.
So that probably made people even more mad because people were mad when Mitch got traded. They did not like that. I was one of them. Mm-hmm. I was like, nah, man, not Mitch. And the whole point being when you sign Vlade, if you had a California Classic when Vlade signed, it wouldn't have been that reaction when he signed. You know what I mean? It would have just been some golf claps or whatever and keep it moving. Malik Monk, I talked about that. It was just kind of a, all right, depth piece. All right, cool to see him and Fox play. That'll be cool, but nobody expected anything. DeMar DeRozan signs, and people are like, you saw the reaction.
Yeah,
I think it's the biggest free agent signing in the moment that this city has ever seen.
I think there's also he chose us thing. Like there was not that the Sacramento Kings were a model franchise when Vlade signed here, but it was still, they was very much in kind of their infancy, so to speak. Like they were maybe 10 years old. Little over 10, maybe 10
about,
to 15 years
about
old?
13, 14 years old.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so there wasn't that's not even as long as the playoff drought.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I mean? So it's the idea that after Salute, he's playing really well, the Jorgis draft, after the fumbles with Vlade as the general manager, the constant hiring and firings of coaches, the George Karl, the Mike Malone screw up, the mishandling of DeMarcus Cousins in that trade, and all of those different things, to think after all of that, a 6-time NBA All-Star chose to play here. And he chose to play here because of that player and these players. Oh, that's a good look. Like there's the ending of the playoff drought. We even like warned at the time, like this is only gonna mask so much. It's only gonna help for so long, because a lot of people aren't going to believe in this team next year. And that was the case. They didn't believe in the Sacramento Kings the following year. And despite the fact they again won, they finished above 500. They won a play in game. They failed to make the playoffs, and that validated a lot of people's opinions on the team the year before. But when you look around the league and people look at this roster and the way that it's constructed and the way that they play and the way that they're coached, you see that the perception may not be the same amongst like the DeMar DeRozans and the different players in the league as it is with Zach Harper's or Coffee Boys or Ryan Russillo's or whoever, you know, national media person or media person in general that likes to look down on the franchise. So the fact that a player that not only has the resume that DeMar does as a player, but what feels like universal respect across the league goes a long way.
Absolutely.
And at this point, it's probably a one of one. In terms of that signing, given, like you pointed out, when the signings of Vlade and these other guys happened, Brad Miller, the Kings were in a much better position when Brad Miller came here. We'll come back. I don't want to spend the entire day reminiscing on stuff that happened a week ago. It's one thing that I hate about being gone. I know everybody else has moved on, but this was legit our first opportunity.
What you want to talk about? The home run derby?
I ain't going to talk about that. Well, apparently you guys really want to talk about field day.
Oh, no. Yeah, we do.
Boy, this.
Talk about field day. And Kyle's still here. I'm going to break down what he's going to do on that first pitch. I want to break down what he's going to do on that first pitch.
We'll come back. It was it was a hell of a day.
That was one of my favorite days of the year.
Reminiscent of the original XFL. We'll explain when D'Lo and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. You can't just walk into the store and go, give me the jacket Michael Jackson had on in the bad
video. Well, I mean, that's why you're D'Lo, because you don't even think about the stores. You're like, yo, I'm going to holler at my own personal stylist, my own personal guy to create stuff and say, yo, I need this one. Not everybody got it like that.
Well, you could. You could just hit up my man King Melly on social
media.
Shout out
King Melly.
Could, yeah, he
King
could,
Melly
he could
make it happen.
He could make something for you.
I need that Letterman for the winner. For the winner.
Man, I got a problem with Coach JT, too.
Uh-oh.
So Coach only come in when I'm not here?
I mean, that's not the case, but that has
been
the case. It kind of
has been the case. Like, he...
Coach JT, pull up, man. Pull up again, man. We got to
like, literally any time, like, pull up. Like, I'm check the timeline in the... Oh, JT in the studio? Oh, is that... I'm sorry. Is that Sarah Hodges? Sarah Hodges ain't been in the studio in 4.5 years.
She okay. says she's pulling up. She says she's back. She says she's back.
There's Jake.
Oh, well, Jake was in the building. He had a gift for you, too. He had the UConn
jersey. I saw the stupid-ass jersey he had on. Couldn't get over how stupid he looked.
By the way, I don't know if you heard. We got a new segment.
Did you hear me?
Dude, you can't leave for a week again, bro. We tried to reel it in. It kind of got crazy.
No, it was great. What was that, Thursday?
I think it was Thursday.
I heard there was some Drake Roman Reigns talk happening.
Well, I tried to announce Drake, he couldn't do it.
That was the tweet. Someone said, hey, get back. Because he's comparing Drake to Roman Reigns again. I swear to you, I stopped checking Twitter after that.
It becomes truer every day. You guys thought I was crazy when I said it. It's becoming truer and truer every day.
Okay.
Every single day.
Okay.
But, on Thursday, it was suggested to us that we have a new segment on the show. Called The Real Brothers of Sacramento.
A caller called in and was like, hey, I need a segment. Give me 2 minutes each day.
You want to guess who it is?
A regular called?
Semi-regular.
Regular-ish.
Yeah. Semi.
He's at least once a week regular. I think.
Like when we say, so you'll not, be like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's not TC.
No.
Is it Buddha?
No.
Who?
Lewis.
Okay.
Lewis said, yo, your co-host ain't there, so I need you to give me 2 minutes today. I was like, all right, man, whatever. He took 5 minutes and didn't get to his point.
Bro, Kenny had a real minute. Like, we gave you so much time. Like, we just got to cut it at this point.
Well,
that was the day I think we were talking about a starting lineup. So he really thinks Malik Monk should be starting at the two. That was like a hot topic for about 2 days. And it's still going on right now.
Who
should start at the two? So he thinks Malik Monk. But that's beyond him. We'll get to that. The gist is.
I want to get back to that because look, just scrap the show. You're just going to have to catch me up on all of the stuff you said while I was away so I could respond to it.
But that's not it. Lewis said, yeah, man, the new segment, Real Brothers of Sacramento. And, you know, he wants 2 to 5 minutes every day. Well, that was followed up by Titus saying, yeah, put me on the show too. Titus wants to be. So Titus and Lewis, the Real Brothers of Sacramento, if they can get it paid for, want the show.
Catch the Real Brothers of Sacramento at 3:56.
Oh, man. That is tremendous.
So be on the lookout for the new segment here on D'Lo and KC, the Real Brothers of Sacramento.
I love both those guys, so I'm... I'm fascinated about how
those are my guys. And that was the whole thing. So, like, I was like, Lewis, you know, you're my guy, like, whatever. But we had to move on. And then I think he got upset that I cut him off after 5 minutes.
He does get upset when you As I am very aware of, he gets very angry. Even if you try to interject, maybe to put an exclamation on his point or just to, you know, add to the conversation. No, he wants you to shut the hell up and let him talk.
That's really what happened.
I've learned my lesson.
That's
with
my
Lewis.
Boy, though. That's my boy, that's Lewis, man. That's my boy. Titus, too. Titus, my boy, too. Titus was, he was coming in. He was getting his points across, too.
This is one of the things that makes, like, not listening when you're away fun. One, part of it is because I don't want it to, like, I never want to, like, babysit. Like, you guys cook the way that you cook. Like, when, you know, you make meals differently when I'm not here. But getting caught up on everything that happened while I was away is significantly better than, like, listening and then, like, bringing it back and trying to rehash it. You know, like, not having any idea that the Real Brothers of Sacramento happened is...
Put it on a shirt.
Is absolutely
underdog.
Tremendous.
Put it on a shirt.
Absolutely.
It's just a disappointment
tremendous.
To be like, yeah, I don't think we can make that happen.
The Real Brothers of Sacramento.
Oh, man. Lewis and Titus.
It has been brought to my attention that you two, and I did catch this as you were lying to wonderful people.
I'll put out the tweets. I mean, the text.
Go ahead. Screenshot that text and put it out there.
I'm working right now. I don't
okay,
have time.
Okay, no, it's good. The when I tapped in on Friday, because I was home Friday, and I tapped into my guys, and you lied. And then Jesse was like, yeah, we haven't even talked about field day yet. So... if you could rewind yourself for a second to prior to the 4th of July, you might recall that 4th of July was on a Thursday. We had kind of the company, hey, take a 4-day weekend day off Friday. Mm-hmm. We were very, very nervous through that stretch. But it was amplified by the fact that our esteemed boss, Stacy Kaufman, had planned what she called a field day. And field day was mandatory. Mm-hmm. And as she called it, it was mandatory family fun. And the idea was to get out of the office, get out of the studio, and interact with your coworkers who you might not get to interact with as much on a daily basis.
Which, real quick, kind of worked. It worked. It was
Well, it did.
Yeah.
And let's also point out that our esteemed...
I was say, maybe go around the room and see who it worked for.
Well, you can peruse social media and find out who it didn't work for.
Oh, man.
But shout out to Stacy, who had originally planned field day for the day after the first round of the draft. Mm. And we went to Charlie and we went to Aaron and said, we can't do that. Mm-hmm. Like, we can't miss that day. That would be a slap in the face. We can't. Right. And they were like, okay, we understand that. And instead of Stacy marching forward with field day the day after the draft, she said, no, we need the entire ESPN 1320 crew involved. We'll do it July 3rd. It was Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So we're 2 days into free agency at that point, and it's like, all right, we just have to cross our fingers. We had contingency plans to where if something happened on that Wednesday, we would have been live on the stream. We wouldn't have been live on the radio, but we would have been live on the stream. So we showed up at this facility because it was moved indoors because it was 112 degrees outside at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Sounds about right.
And we showed up at this facility in Folsom, and there's teams and there's signs and there's bandanas and there's colors and there's stations and then there's Chick-fil-A and all sorts of stuff. Thank God there's a first aid kit. And we'll get back to that in a second. But we're let in, man. And it's like, you guys are going to compete in these different events. All right, like, cool. Some are mind events, like putting together a puzzle of a different station's logo, which I would have rather murdered everyone in the building than do that again. Then there was There was, I don't remember what game you and I were in, the, what that game was called that you and I are in the finals. Ladder?
Oh, I don't know.
It was a ladder,
ladder ball?
Ladder ball.
Ladder ball.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There was ladder ball. There was cornhole. There was egg on a spoon. All of this.
And that, I don't know what happened with that. I think Jesse got screwed on that situation.
I won, but how we got the fourth, like, we came in fourth place, but I won.
Came in first and got
fourth. How does that work?
Okay, so let's also point out the officials, who were Aaron and Stacey, were worse than NBA Summer League officials.
They literally...
Like, they couldn't get on the same page as to, like, what the rules were, or what was allowed, or how they were keeping track. They were just kind of winging it.
It was points based off of vibes, I think.
Pretty much.
Jesse literally crosses the line 5 seconds before anybody else. And his team finishes fourth.
Well, the great thing is they said the team that I was the captain of finished second to last. And the amazing thing is we won like three events, including we won Jenga in like 2 seconds because our fantastic HR rep, Jen Enders, was on the other team. And she goes, I'm going to pull from the bottom, and the whole thing topples down. Meanwhile, the other two teams are playing for like 49 minutes.
The longest Jenga game I've ever seen in my life.
It all paled in comparison, though.
Oh, man.
To the way the day started. We go in, and the first event... It's tug of war. Now, this isn't like figurative tug of war. This isn't like, okay, a modified version of tug of war. No, it's a rope with one team on each end trying to pull the other one across. Okay. I thought the funniest thing that I saw in the opening round of tug of war was the fact that our HR rep, Jen, couldn't keep her footing and was literally on the ground holding the rope, getting dragged across the field. Meanwhile, our two esteemed officials had no idea when tug of war was over, and I'm literally looking at Aaron like, blow the whistle! No.
Don't forget Paul from 98 Rock was on the ground as well at the same time.
Little did we know.
That was my squad.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.